His name is Andy. It's Andy Herman. We're talking some football. The Packers are 4-0. It's Andy Herman. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great. Are we going to start right off with the draft industrial complex today?
No. I think Corey laid waste enough on his Twitter feed.
I'm looking forward to transplant.
Victory Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Transplant's going to be a good time, let me tell you. So obviously the Packers breeze past the Falcons. I do love doing gut reactions every game and trying to come up with a headline that encapsulates what the game feels like. And last night felt like a breeze. I mean, it's easy because it's never easy in the NFL, but they kind of just dispatched them as you thought they probably should, right?
It didn't feel like they needed to exert a ton of effort. I thought that was kind of one of my key takeaways as well, is like when we look back at this season, other than like a 3-touchdown performance from Bob Tonyan, I think this is going to be a super forgettable game. But it like in the fact that they didn't have a lot of their star players, we all know the names, I'm not even going to laundry list them, but they didn't have a ton of their big players, and they just literally kind of, you know, walk through a game against the Falcons on Monday Night Football to a 30-16 win. It was nice. It was fun.
It's crazy too, to think that you mentioned the 3 touchdowns to Tonyan. I mean, you got that output. You've got both running backs going vertical. You've got Z getting 3 sacks in a game. And yeah, as you say, like it feels like, oh, okay. It, like, this is literally the reason why on Packers Daily this morning I said this season already kind of feels like 96 to me. Like, it feels like that feeling you had when, you know, back then it was a little different because the expectations were really piled on that team. Whereas coming into this year, I don't think anybody was putting those kind of expectations on the Packers. But I really do have that feeling where, like, there's no team that scares me. There's no defense that I don't think this offense can't figure out a way to break down and get past. Obviously, the defense is going to have its issues, but for the most part, this team is so easy to love and so easy to watch.
Well, and juxtapose it to last year, too, where, again, they were a really good football team, but every game I was going into it being like, all right, who's hurt this game? Because if the wrong guy is hurt, like, it could legitimately, like, hamper their winning percentage, or, like, if a turnover bounced the wrong way, or if they got down – like, if they got down early in a game, they weren't necessarily coming back from a ton of the season ago. So, like, this year it's the exact opposite. Like, all right, we don't have any wide receivers. No big deal. Like, they'll be fine, you know. Like, they're down early in a game. Like, there were those by week, what was it, the Lions that they went down early against? Like
14-3,
week 2. And the Saints, they have the turnover on downs and Breeze gets the ball. There has not been a point yet, at least for me, where I'm like, oh boy, buckle in, because this is going to be – it was just like
– here comes the snowball that you're always expecting.
No matter what's happening, it's crazy.
What did you think of the play of the secondary? Because they had a lot of guys in and out, but they had injuries that were affecting them. And you saw guys who haven't really seen a lot of so far this year. Obviously, Raven Green jumped out with the sack. He was kind of all over the place, actually. But what did you think? What did you think of the secondary play? Because I think they were a monster key in shutting down what I think the Falcons had been doing well up until last night.
Yeah, I think, first of all, Jair's a stud. We know that. I think Darnell Savage is also taking a step forward just with the level of consistency. Before, you would see a couple flash plays here and there, but then it would be a negative flash play where he'd be taking a bad angle or doing something. You haven't seen those same things. I think Amos has kind of calmed down after the first few games, which weren't bad, but just kind of uncharacteristic for him. I thought the most interesting takeaway was, you know, when Chandon goes down, they don't go with another corner. It's not Josh Jackson or Kadar. They go, you know, more safeties. They played a ton of 4 safeties with Savage and Amos and Redmond and Green in those, kind of slot positions as well. They just kept throwing safeties on the field. I thought for sure they would maybe get Jackson in there, maybe Kadar. And then finally, when King went down, we saw a little bit more of those guys. But those were kind of the key takeaways. But what a season so far freaking Jair has had.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if primetime Jair can just show up every game, I'm for it. I mean, not that the other guy's been terrible. But what did you think of Chris Barnes? I'm getting not only getting the start and making the plays, making the calls for the plays, but – I mean, he looked like he belonged out there.
If you want a team to be special, you have to have a couple players that come out of nowhere, a couple players that make a big jump. We're seeing that out of Robert Tonyan. We saw it out of Lazard before the injury. But, like, I think of Sam Shields. I think of Cullen Jenkins. I think of Tremont Williams. Right. Guys that were, you know, not expected to maybe be these big-time players that come up out of nowhere. Chris Barnes, to me so far, is that guy. And just a couple plays, the play where he reverses, and I know it ended up being a caught ball off of the tip ball, and maybe Darnell Savage would have been there for the pick, but where he reverses back, Ben Fennell did a great job describing that play today, but that was beautiful. And then the play where he comes up on the blitz, and that was Desmond. Was it you that said it was Desmond Bishop?
No. I saw somebody in the comments on Twitter. It was right. Spot
on. But to do both of those things, to be physical and attacking in the run game and as a blitzer,
it's the recovery too, right? When you've got that, you get sucked up in play action. How many times have we seen, whoever it's been for the last 10 years, you go back to AJ Hawk, where guys get sucked up and then they are literally done. They are out of the play. To see him take those steps forward and then immediately have the recognition and the wherewithal to get his head around, find the crosser, and then whip his head back around to get eyes on the ball and be in position to make the play.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Here for it.
I was excited.
What about that 20 play drive? We heard Matt a little bit ago talking about the missed tackles, and they certainly contributed, but that's the one moment where I think that's the path to beating the Packers. I really do. Obviously, the Falcons couldn't close the door on the deal, and they had to settle for 3, which is hilarious after 20 plays. But you talk about a formula to beat the Packers, that is literally it. March the field, possess the ball, and keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. And if you can do that 3 or 4 times in the game, you have a good chance of winning.
So this is really fun because I actually got in some Twitter arguments last night about this as well.
Oh, dear. So I know. You Twitter beefing? That's Corey. Let Corey and I handle the Twitter beefing.
You're right.
You're Andy Herman, man. You don't go on Twitter beefs. Come on.
No, I know. But so I believe that this is, their philosophy. It's, simplified into a bend but don't break. But ultimately, you're trying to not allow big plays. You're trying to basically say, you know what? In order to score on us, you're going to have to put an 18 or 19 play drive together, and you're not going to be able to screw anything up. We think that during the course of that, you're going to have a holding penalty. He's going to get a sack. We're going to pick a ball off.
Something. It's the old Tony Dungy philosophy. I mean, that was the whole predication behind or predicating of Tampa 2. I mean, the idea of you have to drive it. You have to go 15, even to say 20 plays without making a mistake, and most teams won't be able to do that.
Exactly. And I think if you look at it, especially in this game, it played out that way. And the other drives, a lot of those did end up in sacks, or they did get a few three and outs, or they're getting three and outs. I think when you look at it from a macro level, I think when you play a game like that, overall, it's the right philosophy. Now, ideally, do you want to allow a team to go 95 yards and, chew up literally over a sixth of the entire game on one drive? No, you don't want to have them do that. But I thought that was a win for the defense. And Matt LaFleur kind of said something similar today in his press conference. When they held to 3 points, if you're going to have to go, 20 plays, 95 yards, and you get 3 out of it, and then Green Bay goes down and scores, and was it 14-3, I think, or maybe that was the one Crosby missed the extra point. But
I think, it was 13-3.
13-3. I mean, that to me is a game changer. And again, it's not ideal. You don't want Rodgers and the offense to be off the field that long. But when you do that for a whole entire season and make offenses grind, overall, I kind of think that's good defense.
Let's switch it over to the offensive side of the ball, because this is bugaboo, and I have several, as anybody who follows me on Twitter knows. But can we stop? Can we how many games in are we going to have to get until people stop freaking out when Aaron Jones isn't in during the first half of football games? Because it happens almost every week where Jamal Williams goes on this extended, kind of drive or two or what have you, or they're flipping between the two guys. But there's always an extended sequence where Aaron Jones is on the sideline and my Twitter feed just blows up. And why isn't Aaron Jones? And is Aaron Jones hurt? And then lo and behold, the fourth quarter comes along and there's fresh legged Aaron Jones. People, this is their plan. This is basically load management at the running back position. I just wish more people understood this.
I have a secret for you, Aaron. I don't know if you know this.
What? Don't ever tweet and don't ever look at Twitter?
No, those are the people that have Aaron Jones in fantasy football.
Fair point, sir.
So I think that's a piece of that. And I think some people are legitimately wondering because, in every single game, you do have players go out. And there was a point in the game where Chandon Sullivan's on the sideline with his helmet and you're not sure if he's going to go back in. So I do think people do get legitimate concern of, all right, is he actually okay? Because he's such an important piece to this team and what they're able to do with him. So I understand that. I do think a lot of it is the fantasy football people. But no, this is the right way to use Aaron Jones. I think this is exactly what you want to do. I know, you know, again, the fantasy people may not like it, but you have three really good backs, and you can tell every single week Matt LaFleur regrets not being able to get AJ Dillon on the field more often. But there's only so many, you know,
I'm gonna be starting on AJ Dillon stuff.
They're doing a great job of managing both of those guys, and they're both coming up aces.
I didn't get in a third question. Sometimes I get a third question with Matt. Today I only got two, but my third question was literally going to be, so you had Aaron Jones fail on 4th and 1. You've had Jamal Williams fail on 4th and goal. Now, is it AJ Dillon's turn on a 4th and short? Let that kid plow through some people, man.
It would be great. You want to use people with other strengths, and you would think that would be a strength.
I would tend to think, and look, I understand, like Aaron Rodgers talked about last week, how he's not quite there yet as far as digesting the offense and playing loose and free and not having to think about things. And I totally get that. But there ain't a whole lot to think about on the 4th and 1 wham call. You know, they're like, okay, kid, we need this yard. Go get it. You know, like, I don't know.
I know how coaches think, and I don't necessarily always agree with it, but you know, just going through their mind is, I've got two running backs I can rely on, and I have a rookie, and he could fumble a ball at the goal line or whatever. Like, let's
just miss an adjustment or whatever. Exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, so I'm going to go with the two guys that I'm comfortable with because we've put all this time, effort, and energy into this game, and I'm not going to put it in the hands of a rookie if I don't need to. I get it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I know how they think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's look ahead to this showdown with Tampa. Obviously, they have a week to rest, get guys back. Hopefully, we see both Davante Adams and Kenny Clark back on the field down in Tampa. What do you make of this Tampa team? Because, I mean, you look at Tom Brady, throws 5 touchdowns, everyone's going crazy, but he also throws another pick 6. He's certainly not the Tom Brady that was winning MVPs and Super Bowls in New England, but he's certainly able to pull the trigger in Arians' offense, and they've got the weapons. Do you think this is one of those games where, you know, the Packers just got to score early and often, or do you think they'll try and ball control it to keep, I mean, sounds crazy, but to keep the ball out of Brady's hands and let Rodgers kind of just not necessarily run up and down the field, but control the ball game?
I think they're going to let their offense cook. I think they feel like they can put up points with anyone in the league. That seems to be LaFleur's mentality. And, whether it's going for it on 4th down, coming out aggressive.
Which I love, by the way.
For sure.
I love it. I love going for it.
I wrote the exact same thing for Packer Report. I love the philosophy. You don't necessarily love the calls, but keep the philosophy the way it is. And, the Bucs have been their offensive line. Tristan Wirfs was just a phenomenal draft pick. Ali Marpet's playing great.
Marpet's my favorite. Yeah, he's great.
Oh, damn good. So their offensive line's playing great. They have their receivers. O.J. Howard, I think, is going to be a very big loss for them with losing him to the season. Gronk hasn't exactly been the same. But, I think Green Bay is going to feel confident that they're going to be able to stop Tampa Bay a couple times. And I think that they're going to feel confident that their offense can do a lot of the same things that they've been doing for, 4 weeks so far. So it should just be a ton of fun. And we're not to the most fraudulent standpoint, but I'm already hearing, well, you know what? The
Packers Lions haven't played anybody, right?
The Lions haven't beat anybody. The Saints haven't beat anybody. The Vikings are 1-3. You know, the Falcons haven't won a game yet. So all the games are meaningless. And, but now this will be Tampa. And probably something will happen where a player will get hurt. And now all that.
And then it'll be, they beat them without that guy and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It'll be nice that we get to see the Buccaneers on Thursday night against the Bears. I mean, that I think will be a good matchup, if only because you got to think that obviously the Bears are coming off their first loss. They got, I think a pretty damn good defense still.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what it was, but it's still pretty damn good. So it'll be interesting to see how they try to slow Brady and company down. And maybe there's stuff there that, Mike Pettine can take a look and go, hey, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like that it's Thursday from a fan standpoint. I hate that it basically counterfeits the Packers bye, especially with Packers playing on Monday night. So Packers go from Monday night, have the bye. The Bucks go from Thursday night and have a mini bye. So it's literally only like a 3-day difference. So it's cool for, again,
it's fine, but it allows our guys to get healthy. And that's really all I care about. Yeah. You know, it's like, and as we've talked about before, I want to beat them at their best. I don't want to deal with what you were just talking about. Like, oh, they didn't have so-and-so. It's like last year beating the Chiefs, which was funny because everyone talked about Mahomes being out, but no one remembers that Chris Jones was out of that game. And if Chris Jones plays in that game, I don't know if the Packers win. Yeah. I'm serious. That's how good he is and what he means to that defense. So, we'll see. It'll be fun to watch. Andy, I can't thank you enough for hanging out each and every usually Monday. Today it's Tuesday. You and I have not gotten a lot of sleep. I'm going to let you go. Take care of your mentals, as Marshawn Lynch would say. And I'll talk to you, well, not next week, but I'll talk to you after the Buccaneers game.
Whenever you want to talk, I will be here to talk. Thanks so much for having me.
Sounds great, man.
See you.